Hey, David.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, do you like Fallout or Terminator? Maybe The Matrix, Bioshock,
RoboCop? I do so happen to like that. All of those things.
What if I told you there's a crate, a box of sorts that you could pay like $20 a month to get? This month, if you paid that, you'd get random geek gear based on Fallout, Terminator, The Matrix, Bioshock, and RoboCop.
Do you think I get like a Pip-Boy for my pinky?
You could probably get a Pip-Boy, a Fallout Pip-Boy, a Terminator Pip-Boy, The Matrix Pip-Boy, Bioshock the Pip-Boy, and RoboCop Pip-Boy.
That's a lot of Pip-Boys.
That is a lot of Pip-Boys. It's mostly a box of Pip-Boys.
It's just a box of Pip-Boys.
So if you want, you can go to lootcrate.com/unpitchable, and you can use the coupon code unpitchable. That's UNPITCHABLE to get $3 off your order of a box that contains Fallout, Terminator, The Matrix, Bioshock, and RoboCop items.
Man, that sounds like a heck of a deal. Where do I sign?
Did I mention you get Fallout, Terminator, The Matrix, Bioshock, and RoboCop items?
You did.
Well, you might not get all of those. The theme is dystopia. You might not get any of those. You might just get one of our knockoff dystopia.
It's just a box of wasteland.
Box full of sand.
Yeah, box of sand. Just dirt and gravel. That's what you get in the dystopia box.
And a water filtration kit.
And a water bottle full of gasoline. That's it. That's all you get. Anyway, so head over to lootcrate.com/unpitchable and use the coupon code unpitchable to get $3 off. You know you need it. If the apocalypse happens, all those dollars are going to be worth so much, probably.
Loot Crate.
Get your Loot Crate. Hi, welcome to Unpitchable, a podcast about fake sequels and mashups based on real movies. I'm Nick Kagi.
I'm David Johnson.
I'm Tim Catania.
David, what you been up to?
I have been doing a lot of nothing, but I did go to Taco Bell this morning. I started the day off right, guys. I got Taco Bell for breakfast.
So you're thinking outside the bun. I like it.
Yep.
You know, that's the motto of the podcast. Think outside the bun. I just came up with that.
Taco Bell sponsors this podcast. Have you listened to some of our ads?
Yeah. I got first meal. I didn't get second, third, or fourth meal, or fifth meal, or ninth meal. I don't know how many meals they have now.
I think I had like six meals. So you're good. Definitely. I covered a few of yours.
So I got a Crunchwrap. Guys, have you had the Crunchwrap, the AM Crunchwrap?
Is that the one that they like flavor blast with nacho cheese and eggs, basically?
Yeah, basically.
That sounds
disgusting.
They just
hose down a tortilla
with
egg
and nacho
cheese.
And then they dunk it in Mountain Dew AM. They just like soak it.
Get some Mountain Dew Kickstart.
Yeah,
dusting.
They just soak it and Kickstart. They dust it and Kickstart. Okay. Like a guy with white gloves sticks his finger in some Kickstart and like sprinkles it on. You guys couldn't see me actually doing that motion just now. It was very effective.
I believe you. I have one of those. So while I was waiting in line, this thought kind of hit me out of nowhere that they were advertising some sort of like, I don't know, man, some strawberry mango daiquiri freeze or some sort of new flavored something that they're trying to push, like some new drink. And it just got me thinking that Taco Bell is just kind of, they're not playing by anybody's rules. And it made me think, what if Taco Bell applied to be its own like country?
Oh my gosh.
All the Taco Bells became like sovereign states, or like international, like almost like international waters. It's like all the Taco Bells were Taco Bell in embassies.
Yeah. So I think to get ahead of you there, real quick, I think Outback took care of that. They have the slogan "No rules, just right." So I mean, and that's all of Australia. So I don't know, dude. Like, I think that's already being done.
Well, maybe. What were you gonna say, Nick?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, are we at that point of the podcast where David just starts picking companies to run the country now?
Yeah. Here's what I think.
I've given
Here's
up.
Here's I think who like, should be in charge.
Who could help us?
This AM Crunchwrap should be president.
It's just gotten that bad.
Let me just give you a little piece of my mind. I would really like nachos at this moment. Okay, David, thank you. This segment is really crappy.
I'm sorry.
No, I like the idea of...
Let's scrap it. Let's scrap it.
I love the idea of...
Let's bring up Civil War.
No, I like it. I was kidding about the crappy segment. I was making a joke about, like, if you were saying the president thing. So I was kidding about being crappy. It's fine. I'm sick still. So tacos.
It's a sovereign state. So it's a safe space for, like, nationals if they need, like, an embassy to go to. I don't know who is, like, a citizen of Taco Bell.
When you say nationals, I feel like we're starting to get racist. What do you mean
by
nationals?
No, like, foreign nationals. Like people that need asylum.
Okay.
Let's just say that, like, you're a taco, and you're really getting,
you know. That's what I'm saying. Like, if
you're butt kicked on the streets, you're being prosecuted by the government, and you need a Taco Bell to take, you know, asylum in.
Yeah. These aren't sentient tacos, by the way.
Maybe you're like
who have moved
Julian Assange, and you like release some documents you shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Taco leaks.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to seek asylum in a Taco Bell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that makes sense.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I just feel like that could be an interesting.
No,
this is
dumb. No, I don't think that there's any. No, like, I got it. Look, I don't think there's any Taco Bell worker that I want to have, like, what's it called when you are. When you come to the States and you do a lot, you do an illegal thing that's legal in your country. What's it called?
Are you talking about immunity?
What? Yeah, I don't want any Taco Bell worker to have
like
diplomatic
at the villain
immunity.
At the end of Die Hard 2 where he had political immunity or whatever.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like I don't want.
Yeah, no.
There's no Taco Bell worker I've ever met that I want to have diplomatic immunity. That's no doubt in my
that's
mind.
Fair enough.
That's
fair
the
enough.
Worst idea ever.
Tim, were you with us when me and Josh and a bunch of us did Fancy Taco Bell Night?
I invented Fancy Taco Bell Night. Thank you
You're
very
so,
much.
No, you didn't invent Fancy Taco Bell Night. I think I stole it from a Facebook post someone else did, and Josh
yeah,
thought,
no. Guess what? Yeah. That Facebook post was me.
I'm telling you.
We did it in high school.
We may not have invented it, but we did it like in like, yeah, high
school. My pastor gave me a bunch of suit jackets. For free, and they were in my trunk. I'm talking like 12 suit
no,
jackets.
No, like yeah, there was like 10 or
and
12.
So they were all in my trunk because I was bringing them home because some of them fit me. All right, you know, I was like, oh well, I'll go through it and give the rest to Goodwill or whatever. But I had them all in my trunk, and we went to Taco Bell, and I was like, what if we just all put these on and act really fancy? And so we pulled up, and I pulled up the Camaro, which had limited trunk space, but somehow I fit 12 jackets in it, and we all wore that. Yeah. I think I was wearing yep. flip-flops, too, which was really funny.
Probably. I'm sure we had shorts on.
Oh, yeah. It was Taco Bell. You don't go to Taco Bell with pants on.
Yeah.
That's actually a rule.
Your legs have to be able to breathe in Taco Bell.
Home of the Smash Mouth.
I'm sorry. I don't
stupid.
Know. I just so this many things a... I'm just not saying right now.
Okay.
Anyway, those pastor suit
anyway.
Jackets are gone, so
they're probably still in the Camaro.
The Camaro is very much gone. I sold the Camaro to a kid whose car got destroyed by the Red Bull car.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he got like a big paycheck because the Red Bull car smashed into his car and destroyed it. And I thought that was the funniest thing ever because he just handed me cash for it.
That's okay. Pretty great.
It's probably drug money. He probably made up the Red Bull thing, now that I think about it. Now
yeah.
that I investigate that story a little more, like, I watch Sherlock now, so, like, I can think back on this and pick out how he was lying. You can see the Red Bull dust on his hand, so maybe it's true. I don't know.
So, the other thing that I did, not this past weekend, but recently, I saw Civil War.
Yeah.
Captain America, Civil War. You guys seen that?
It's I have. Movie, it's good. Man. I haven't talked about it yet, so let's go.
What'd you think?
All right, so no spoilers ahead. At least we're going to try not to, just to heads
yeah,
up everybody.
No.
So you can keep listening.
We'll
hold,
like
on, hold on, hold
yeah.
on, hold on. Can I just pitch an idea real quick? Because this is unpitchable. How about we just give all the spoilers?
Everything you hear from this point on is 100% spoilers. Even during the middle of our movies later, we're going to sprinkle them in.
So, like,
yeah.
the worst
Batman
part of the movie was when Captain America and Tony Stark realized they loved each other and just made out. It was terrible.
It was mm-hmm. real awkward. Mm-hmm. For...
It well, yeah. It got kind of graphic too. I mean, they cut Spider-Man's legs just
straight
off.
I liked when Ant-Man was swallowed by Black Widow, and then he like turned big and just destroyed her. like blew her up.
Just like she turned into blood frog mist. In the first Hulk movie. Yeah, it just
it was pretty messed up. And then the Hulk wasn't there,
and I was really surprised they brought back Quicksilver after they killed him in Ultron. And then the whole time,
It was a weird like Star Wars ghost kind of thing though. Like it was. Yeah.
He was like 3/4 the skeleton hologram by this point, but weird thing is, his other superpowers, his body doesn't decay very fast. Man, that'd be a good movie. We just wrote a good movie. We did it.
You can just hear him coming from like 30 miles away because he's just all bones. He's just a clacking.
He's just a clacking, yeah.
But for real.
He sounds like a bead curtain. All right, so David saw
Civil War.
Yeah,
it was super good. I think that my favorite part, surprisingly, I didn't have any. I guess I had some apprehensions going in, but like I was just like, I was kind of worried about Spider-Man. I love Spider-Man. He's actually one of my favorite comic book characters.
Same here.
Has been for a long time, and so I was just like, man. We got another new Spider-Man. I hope that they pull it off. And without getting super, super into it, can I just say that I'm so excited for Spider-Man Homecoming.
They nailed Spider-Man. The thing that, like, this isn't a spoiler at all. The thing that they really did well was, I think the previous Spider-Mans lacked the wit that Spider-Man has during a battle. Like, he's supposed to be...
quippy.
Yeah, so like I think the idea is that he thinks faster than other people do. That's why he has this time to think of these quips. He kind of gets bored.
Sure.
I think that mostly stems from Stan Lee writing. I don't know if you've ever read a Stan Lee comic, but he'll write like a 7-paragraph thought bubble on a scene of Spider-Man punching somebody. I'm serious. Look it up. It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
but,
he does.
They did a great job of just like capturing the wit and just him being a teenager. It felt a lot more, I don't know, home for the character.
I guess my favorite part is, and this I'm not really spoiling anything here either, is I really liked and it was different because they didn't do this in the comics, so it was kind of nice to see, is really kind of the homemade suit that he had for himself that was like almost comical.
Yes.
And just like Tony Stark just really ushered him in, and it was kind of cool, and I really liked that. I also liked that he had a I know this is dumb, but I really like that he had a Brooklyn accent or a Queens accent, or I think it's Queens, but I really like that he had a New York accent, and you know, none of the other ones really seem to have that. Also, he looks like a 15-year-old.
For sure.
I like that he wasn't played by a cat this time around, because Garfield played him last time, so
No, you're right. That was the biggest thing that worried me, was how young they had cast the guy. But it really makes sense. And
he was awesome. He was like one of my favorite parts of that whole film. Was
for real.
His sections, which makes me a little scared, because can they keep that up for a whole movie? I mean, I think they can. But
I think that's why they're bringing in the big guns. They got Tony Stark coming back.
Yeah, they have a lot to live up to though with that movie, with how good they did in Civil War. Let's not talk about Civil War in general though, like. They stepped it up for superhero movies. It's no longer just, hey, here's a cool fight scene. Here's characters you like doing this cool stuff. They actually turned it into a pretty good political drama in some way. And I was super impressed that they did such a good job with the... you go in and you feel like you've picked a side beforehand. If you've read the comics, you probably have.
Yeah.
And then when you get in there and you're like, I don't actually know who I side with. And they do a great job of just like building... some really good tension between the two main, I think the two main characters in the movie, Captain America and Iron Man, really. I was super impressed.
I don't know if maybe I just didn't pay attention last time, but I really liked Falcon in this. Falcon was a lot different in this, and I really liked him.
I think they gave him a little more personality this time around.
And I also liked that, I really liked that, I really want to call him Arrow, but I know it's Hawkeye, but I really like that Hawkeye.
Arrow boy.
I kind of felt like he was defiant. Like, just, I don't know. He just felt almost angry. It was really good. The whole movie was so great. And my favorite, I was telling someone this the other day, is like the difference between this and Batman versus Superman is the pace of this movie was, they were almost the same. They were almost just as long as each other. They're only a few minutes apart. Anyway, the pace of this movie, they just bounced back and forth, and they did it so well and so fluid. It was like fluid. I don't know. I just had a...
There's obviously care in this film. That's the difference between, like, even looking at the trailers compared to Batman vs. Superman, because I haven't seen Batman vs. Superman yet. There's a lot of care. Like, you can tell that every scene is, like, kind of hand-picked. I mean, I'm not saying that it's a perfect movie by any means, but it's such a huge step up, even from the last Captain America, which was fantastic. I'm not even sure how.
I think it was better than the last Captain America, but I don't know that. That's a hard thing to say though, because
consider this Avengers 3 at that point. But everybody. Yeah.
I guess I don't know the effect of Winter Soldier. I went into Winter Soldier not expecting everything that happened in Winter Soldier, so to come to this, I kind of was expecting something dramatic and. The trailer really set up, like, a lot of heartbreak, so I was expecting it. But it was... I would say that it was as good as... I don't know if it was better, but it was... At least in my opinion. But I really hate to say that I liked it probably more than any of the Batman movies. Like, even Dark Knight and all... even the Nolan trilogy. Yeah,
I mean, I think that the second Dark Knight movie... I'm sorry, I'm blanking on the name. But the one with Joker... was my favorite out of those.
The Dark Knight.
Okay, cool. I did it. congratulations, Tim. You stuck that landing, and then you decided you didn't. It's like I stuck the landing and looked at the judges and was like, I didn't do it. but I thought that movie was really, really well done. It was my favorite out of all three. I would say that, heck, any of the Captain Americas are better. And that's a fan thing, probably, because I really like Captain America. I always have.
Good. I like it.
Yeah, for sure.
The ending of the movie, I won't spoil anything, but the ending of the movie was really good because I was really worried that they were going to set up the movie for something different.
David sent a cool article to us on the Slack, and it was about, I'm not going to go into too much detail again because we don't want to spoil anything, but Tony Stark's mental state. He did a great job. They don't explicitly say, like, hey, Tony Stark's crazy or anything like that, and he's not crazy in this film. But he did a really good job playing a character who's on the edge. He's walking this line of, you know, what first off, what do I believe and is this worth it? And then also, you know, he's been through a ton. If you've watched the Iron Man movies, the last Iron Man, he like basically said, I'm done. Because of how bad it was messing up his relationships. And so it's very, the ending of that movie ties, if you've seen it, you know, it ties together really well, just basically what Tony Stark needed to hear. It was such a fantastic movie.
Yeah,
I will go see that movie again.
Because it's weird because when you, on the surface, you think that, Captain America is all about taking ownership of their mess ups, and it feels like Tony is all about just trying to find a way to not really pass the buck, but just build like a safety net around the fact that they might mess up, like keep themselves in check. But really, it's like if you really get down to think about it, and maybe reading that article help, it's almost like Tony is also just as hard of himself as Captain America is. Mm-hmm. He just like.
He's more impulsive about it. It's like the article
said, he needs someone to help him with it.
Yeah, he's impulsive.
It's like his biggest character flaw is that he feels like he needs to take all this weight.
Right. Well, he's just so impulsive. He feels like everything is his fault.
He's so impulsive to the point, like, you know, like, I was watching Age of Ultron the other day. Like, the moment he decides to, like, upload Ultron and, like, get that process started was only a few minutes. Like, that was a really impulsive decision. And then... Also, like, at the end when he's creating Vision, because he thinks Vision's gonna, be the answer to everything, that was really impulsive as well. He's just really impulsive, like, and he jumps back and forth. I've always liked Iron Man more than Captain America, and I don't know, but I guess I identify with people who struggle more, because I feel like Captain America just, I don't know.
He's a Boy Scout kind of thing. I mean, it depends on how, the comic portrayal that you read about him. I mean... The Man Out of Time story arcs, I think, are really well done because it does give him a flaw of just, like, I don't fit here. I agree with you. I mean, Tony Stark definitely, I feel like, has the potential to be a deeper character because he's more dynamic. Captain America's kind of static. That's just how he's written, you know?
Oh, the other thing I wanted to touch on, like, is, you know, the Hulk movie, the original, not the original, but the Edward Norton Hulk movie, when they brought in General Ross in that, it was like, I didn't know how they were going to bring that back, and I really wanted them to bring that back. I still really want them to bring Abomination back, too, but I was really impressed with what they did with Ross, and they didn't overdo it, but they didn't underdo it, and they kind of still made him an antagonist without actually antagonizing people, and that was just, it was really well written. It was really well, like you said, Tim, that was just really well cared for, so.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, he was a good kind of gray area character.
Yeah.
Well, the fact that you basically don't see that guy till near the end is pretty good. Like, the conflict itself is the driving force of the movie. It's not the villain. I think that was very a very well calculated move on their part, because it gave you something to care about as opposed to hate, if that makes sense. Like, I dislike this guy is different than I care about these characters and what they're feeling.
Right. Oh, and you know what? I just want to throw out one honorable mention. Black Panther was fantastic. Oh my gosh,
I cannot wait to watch that movie.
Yeah, like talk about a character I was just really don't know anything about, and was just like, ah, that's cool. They got a new character in here. Like, man, I loved every second
he
was on screen.
You should read up on his character when you get a minute, because it's his story is actually really cool. And I want to say I had this question. The Black Panther name actually happened before that group formed. So it's not like a play off that. It's a, it just was his name. But yeah. his history is really fantastic, and they did a great job casting that character. I don't know what to say about him other than if you see the movie, you'll understand why this guy needs his own film.
Yeah.
You know, we live in the South, so black culture is kind of interesting here. I really like that we're starting to address like ethnic cultures and just be more diverse in movies, and like, you know, there's starting to be more female leads, and like, just I just really like that we're getting a diverse spectrum of like heroes and from a lot of different cultures, so it's kind of nice to see that, like, and actually see it done well
for sure.
So yeah. I don't have a lot, but I just thought I'd tell kind of a funny story.
Sure.
You know, I don't really think our listeners get to connect with us too well. Let me rephrase that. I think our listeners get to connect with us, but they don't always get to know a lot about us because we're always so focused on movies. But I was telling someone the other day about like epilepsy because they literally had no idea what it was. And then,
that's,
you know,
where you
I was
can,
talking,
like, read minds, right?
That's exactly what it is, Tim.
You have to carry around a special pen, right?
Yes.
An
EpiPen. And you stab
an EpiPen, that's right. Yeah.
Into your
so,
heart. And that gives
I was
you
like,
super
I was,
strength.
That's right. So it was like I was talking to you guys before the podcast. So in high school, epilepsy is basically I have seizures. I haven't had seizures in years. If you don't know what a seizure is, it is basically like electrical pulses in your brain kind of disconnect your consciousness and can cause you to like seize. And all your muscles can see, there's different types of them, and I don't know what my triggers are. Some people have seizures playing video games, some people have seizures looking at strobe lights, some people have seizures if they're too hot, some people, there's just a lot of different triggers. I don't know what my trigger is, but I'm controlled by medication. And so anyway, when I was younger, it wasn't so easy to control. I got epilepsy when I was 14, and anyway, so I had a seizure in high school one time. I was reminded of like how terrifying that is to people, because not everybody, you know, if you ever saw someone seize, it kind of looks like they're possessed, like truthfully.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. It really does look like they're
really
possessed.
You really hope you don't seize at like a Christian camp because you're not getting medical help. I guarantee you. No, I used to work, I'm dead serious. I worked at a Christian camp and someone had like a real bad asthma attack and they're like, let's pray over him. I was like, well, you can do that while they, you know, you call the ambulance. Like, that's not, like, you've got to be kidding me, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
No, Rant that's over. Actually, that's fantastic. I'd have thought of an entire different whole mindset of that. Anyway, so in high school, like some of my friends, Blake Owen and Tucker Bell, they're kind of my best friends in high school. You know, they knew I had epilepsy. And so one day I'm in class and I'm kind of like being sarcastic with one of the teachers. Her name is Miss Reem. She's like actually one of the best teachers I ever had. And I really wish I had treated her better in high school. I hope she's listening to this podcast too. So anyway, she told me to go to the office and I started to have a seizure when she told me to go to the office. And I didn't know that I could feel my seizures coming on, but I knew It's a really rare condition for people who can feel their seizures coming on, but I knew something was wrong. And so I kept trying to tell her something, but once the, they call it an aura, once the aura starts, you can't really control everything. And so from the story I was told is that I kept repeating over and over and over, I'm not going to the office. I'm not going. I'm not going to the office. I'm not going. And then I started seizing in my desk. Like, your seizures kind of tend to be like superhuman strength. Not like superhuman, like tear apart car doors or anything, but like, but they're like, just...
There's no governor on your brain keeping you from using all your full strength. Yeah.
Yeah. And so apparently I had ripped the top of this desk off. Tucker and Blake kind of helped me like get out of my chair. And once everybody realized that I was seizing, this girl heard that you're supposed to put a pen in people's mouth so they don't bite their tongue. Well, you know, I'm shaking uncontrollably.
Yeah,
and so this pen goes through the side of my cheek.
Great.
So I can actually feel it on the inside of my mouth where the scar tissue is. On the outside, it's a little harder to see, but you can see it. Anyway, so that was just a wonderful moment.
And that's your superhero origin story.
That's how
I thought you were
going
to say you tore the desk off, the top of your desk off, and you were just beating the teacher. And when you woke up, there was just blood everywhere, and you were like, man, I hope she's still listening. In that wheelchair I put her in.
No, I loved Mrs. Ream. She was an awesome teacher.
If you're listening right now, Mrs. Ream, send us your favorite fake movie. And also, you'll get a handwritten apology from Nick, I swear.
If she emailed us, I would send the handwritten apology. She never sent me to the office after that, surprisingly. But anyway, so I was kind of just thinking about like funny moments with seizures. So when I met my wife, Mindy, we'd been dating for a little while. It wasn't like our first date, but it was one of our first dates. We're sitting in a computer lab because I don't know why we thought that was a date, but it wasn't necessarily a date, but we were just hanging out. And
hey, you want to watch me play solitaire?
Yeah. And so
watch me play Chip's Challenge. I'm really good at Chip's Challenge.
Mindy was like, I guess, a moderator at a computer lab at our college. It was Baptist Bible College, so that should tell you exactly how exciting our life was. So I went up there to hang out with her, and we're kind of like just hanging out in the computer lab. I started to have a seizure, and I hadn't had the chance to really explain to Mindy everything because we were still dating. And so I had a seizure, and like I got on the ground, and Mindy called my roommates, and like I pissed my pants, and I guess like in the middle of my seizure, I told my wife I loved her a bunch of times, and like just like stuff you don't do after dating someone for just a couple of weeks. And so,
and then you woke up and you were married, and you're like, that was the weirdest that was the weirdest seizure I've ever had, but all right, I'm just gonna go with the flow. And it worked out. You guys have been married for like 40 years now,
something like that. And so I just think, like, you know, how grateful I am for Mindy not freaking out completely. And yeah, man, I pissed my pants in front of my wife like 3 weeks in, and she still accepted me, so that was kind of cool.
I'd have left you.
I peed 2 weeks in, so no big deal. And that Tim, was just because to, I was bored. Hey, yeah. Nick, I got a question for you before you do that. How come you never seize when we're recording? It's like you hate comedy. Anyway.
I haven't had a seizure in years because I'm fully medicated, and I like understand how to take medication and when to take it, and just I don't seize on air because I
you're a professional.
Really I'm a professional epileptic. So.
I'm a professional. I don't seize unless I want to. Unless I want to get out of something. You're like on Sunday. You're like, oh, I gotta serve again. Maybe we'll just have a seizure, just a little one.
And do you know, like, I know, like, I make a lot of jokes, but for real, like, that's one of the few things I refuse to joke about, because it's, like, I, like, sometimes I've made jokes so much that people have a hard time taking me serious, and, like, over the years, I've kind of learned to even that out, but that's one of those things, like, if you fake or joke about a seizure, like, when the real time comes, it's, like, I don't know, it's just scary,
definitely,
man.
Take that seriously, like, you don't want to do that for attention.
You don't want to be the boy that cried Caesar.
Yeah. And then you're like having a real seizure, and he's like, well, he's really committed to this joke. He just peed again. Hey, let's put popcorn in his mouth. This will be funny. Haha, Nick, that's really funny. We jammed a whole bag of popcorn in your mouth. Haha, Nick, you're not breathing anymore. Nick, you can stop faking now. Hey, Nick, we're going to hide your body. Hilarious. You can wake up now. And then it's like it's just me and David standing around your grave, and we're like, huh, probably telling the truth that time. I guess we'll plant a tree here. I don't know, what do you do?
Oh, Lord.
So, okay. Anyway, this week, I don't really have anything big to talk about other than just a recommendation. If you like podcasts, I have been listening to one called The Unmarked. It's a collaborative storytelling, kind of a role-playing podcast, and I don't really know what else to say about it other than it's kind of got a supernatural flair to it, and it's really interesting. And there's about 7 episodes now, and it's done by a group of really cool people who raised some money from their normal podcast and went off and did this. And so I'd highly recommend it. The Unmarked, you can find it on podcast shelves everywhere. And just, you know, a warning that these are all adult people who do curse on occasion. It's not super dirty or anything like that, but they do curse. So just, you know, if that's something you're sensitive to, just a heads up. That's it.
It's a good show. I like it.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm probably not in as far as you are, but it's cool.
It's got a really cool idea for, I would read a book in the series of the idea that they have for this world. And they do a lot of really interesting world building through characters. And if you're interested at all in writing or game design, like board game or anything like that, it actually has the guy who created, Risk Legacy and Pandemic Legacy. Yeah. And he's absolutely fantastic as their director, basically.
Rob Davio?
Rob Davio, that's right. Yeah. So go check it out if you're interested at all. It's super awesome.
Yeah.
So, Nick, cool. I heard you had a movie.
Man, I hope you guys are ready for this one. I was telling you guys earlier, I couldn't come up with a movie, so I found a movie I liked, and I got on Rhyme Zone and just kind of finagled it together. Yeah. I'm a professional podcaster! you guys know what an innocuit is, right?
Say what?
Do you know what an innocuit is?
Innocuate?
Inoculated?
Yeah.
So innocuate is a form of inoculate. So I just wanted to make sure before I threw out the title. So an innocuate is, it's like a vaccine, like when you inoculate someone.
Yeah.
Okay, so my movie is Charlie and the Innocuate Factory. Would you like direction?
I just imagine it's like, hey, I got this, I got cured from the zombie disease, and I got a golden ticket to go see the factory.
That's kind of exactly where I was heading with this.
And so him and his zombie grandpa... Because they're poor. They couldn't afford it for everybody. They're like, well, Grandpa just lays in bed and he's lazy anyway. So we'll just, like, let him stay a zombie. Put him on a leash and, like, duct tape his mouth shut. And they just, like, they go to the inoculate factory and they learn about diseases, you know? Maybe they inject themselves with some stuff and learn to fly. I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah. So, so here's the thing. Who runs this factory?
Okay, so I actually, can I throw out a little bit of direction? Because I think it'll help.
Yeah.
Okay, so I, in my mind at least, I had this idea that Willy Wonka, like, loses his mind. And because he's had to pay so heavy in taxes over the years because the tax increases, he decides to poison the world with his chocolate. And so, Charlie, like, is a doctor. He's grown up and become a doctor and, like... You know, he decides to start creating, like, cures for things. And so, like, he cures AIDS and cancer. But Willy Wonka is just so whimsical and, like, so crazy. He just comes up with the weirdest diseases.
This one rots your feet off. Ha ha! I'm Willy Wonka. I like to think that, like, Charlie coming up with a cure for AIDS is he's like, and he, like, tastes this vat full of stuff and he just puts a sneaker in it. And you're like, okay, sure. That makes sense. I'll inject that, I guess, at this point. Anyway, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I'm laughing so hard. You know when you laugh so hard it's quiet?
Yeah, I like the... So you're saying Charlie's throwing a sneaker into this, like, medicine, like...
This vat
that's
full
how
of,
he's
like,
making...
The,
yeah.
Robotussin.
Because he learned how to cook from, like, a madman.
Oh, I was going to say he learned how to cook from witches.
He learned how to cook from Willy Wonka.
He
so, no, he grew
from
up...
Willy Wonka,
yeah, he
lunatic.
Grew up with Willy Wonka, and then Willy Wonka went crazy and started doing this stuff where that Charlie couldn't deal with, and so Charlie was like, I'm going to be the opposite force of good.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that.
Okay.
I still like the idea, though. Like, I'm not saying we go with this. I like the idea of... Charlie going into this factory and there's just like needles everywhere and it's like, this is the worst tour I've ever been on my entire life. They get in the boat and the whole little like river boat that they're on, it's just needles, they're on needles, and they're like, they've got these little short people pushing the boat and they're like wearing these hazmat suits, and they're like, "What are those?" Those are people, Charlie. Those are people in suits. You idiot. They're just shorter than you. That's it.
This whole movie is definitely made by the Dare drugs people. That's all this feels.
Don't
like.
Be a dope, David.
I kind of pictured in my mind that Willy Wonka's really just turned into the same character that Johnny Depp played in Blow.
Okay.
And he just lost his mind completely.
I like the idea, though, of him like making these diseases that Charlie has to combat. And so maybe it's like, instead of...
This is the second test.
So, you know, he visited the factory a long time ago, right? When it was still happy and there was chocolate fountains and fat kids falling in tubes and people getting burned and turned into blueberries. When it was so happy, you know? Chickens getting their heads cut off in the tunnel. When it was happy. And he has to, like, he leads a raid team that goes in to try to find the source of the vaccine, the source of the virus to make a vaccine.
Oh.
So maybe he goes back to the factory.
Oh, I got an idea. Can I interrupt? I have an idea that I think will help. What if, like, all the kids who got sick in the first tour, like...
They're mini bosses, because that's the only.
That's thing what exactly where I was gonna go. Yeah, they're like right.
I'm imagining like they kick this door in, right? They're like they're gonna like you know they cut the gate open and it's like a SWAT team, and they've got all you know they're like in formation and they're doing hand signals and all this stuff to like get up to the front gate, and they kick, and Charlie's like lagging behind because he's a doctor, not a fighter. He's only there to get what they need, and like they kick the door in and then it's just Gustav, and like he just starts vomiting chocolate at them. And it's like flaming hot. And you find out that like Willy Wonka made this like he basically kept him in the tube.
He didn't
him like evolve into this monster.
Yeah, he didn't ship him off into the back to get it fixed. He
just
harnessed them.
He harnessed his ability to drink chocolate water or mud water or whatever that actually was to use it.
Mud water.
That's what it looks like.
That was the Oompa Loompa sewage system. Is what it was.
That's pure Oompa liquid. That's what they're made of.
Yeah. Oompa's just chocolate. That's what comes out.
Yeah, and so, like, I mean, of course they have to fight Oompas. They're, like, shooting Oompas with machine guns. Taking them out.
Oompas, wait, let's get this right. Oompas are shooting machine guns that are shooting out smaller Oompas.
And then that are shooting out smaller machine guns. And it's like, that wasn't very effective at all. Like, they just got hit with the butt of a gun. They're like, well, that hurt a little.
Yeah, so I was thinking, like, they go past that, like, you know, they take care of that, however, and they get to Violet. She was the girl who chewed gum. She can shoot, she can spit gum out of her mouth at the speed of a bullet, and so she's just spitting gum.
That's actually a great idea. So, I think they kill Gustav, we need to make sure that Gustav dies of honorable death, though. Because, okay. You know, he looks Charlie in the eyes, and he's like, you know me.
Kill me.
So
it's Augustus Gloop. I'm sorry. It's Augustus Gloop.
Augustus Gloop, yeah. Gustav, Gloop. Whatever. Same difference.
He was destined to be a villain.
Basically. And Charlie's like, Gloop? Is that you? And then you could see, like, he recognizes in his eyes that he should stop scalding these soldiers with boiling hot chocolate from his stomach. And then, Charlie, like, gets close enough and he just stabs him. Like, viciously stabs him. And he's like, I'm so sorry. Augustus, I'm so sorry. And Augustus just looks at him and smiles before he passes away.
Danke!
Don. All right, so they go into the next room. So she got turned into this giant blueberry, right? I like the idea that she shoots gum still. But I want to add on that, like, they go in and they go down this long corridor. They hear, like, a latch open in the roof, and then this big blue ball falls down, and they have to run like Indiana Jones from...
Okay,
her name? Violet?
Yeah.
And she's, like, shooting gum at them as her head rolls by.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's, like, just them dodging, and, like, Charlie's looking back, like, oh, God.
Okay, I like that. I like that. I can deal with that.
I mean, really, Charlie just stabs her to death, too, because I think that's how all of them end up dying.
Stabbing is incredibly effective in the real world.
It really is. This is based in reality. Thank you very much.
Well, you guys have heard the theory, just to interrupt this movie, you've heard the theory that, like, that movie is that Willy Wonka is like a serial killer for children, right?
No.
Oh, yeah, you got to look that up on the internet, buddy. Yeah.
I will Google that. That sounds hilarious. So, how does Violet needs to meet her device? That we have to make sure everyone either gets trapped somewhere they can stop or...
Yeah. I think that they got to freeze her somehow. Like, gum becomes incredibly...
That's good. You're like, right. It becomes brittle. And she's mostly gum now.
It's brittle. Yeah. I mean, really. She's shooting out all this gum. She's probably like...
She's probably been living off gum all this time.
Three-fourths gum. Yeah.
He rolled her away and put her in the gum vault. And that's what she's been eating all this time. Hey, when he goes to activate her, can he go to this giant gumball machine that she's in? With all these other like giant gumballs, and he puts this giant quarter in, and he turns it, and she comes out.
Yes,
and she's been living off the gumballs in the machine. That's why she's so full of gum.
Yeah.
So all right, so they got a freezer. So what if like Charlie knows the layout of this factory, right? That's the other reason he's here. Right. He's a good guide, and so he's maybe he brings it to where they like make the ice cream or something. I don't know if Willy Wonka made ice cream, but why not, right? Yeah.
And he finds a nitrogen tank.
That's what I was going to say. Like, he sees a pipe up top where nitrogen pipes through, and he, like, tricks her into following him. And it's just him right now. Like, the other SWAT team has been knocked unconscious with a gun. And he's running. And
they're stuck to the walls like Spider-Man villains.
Yeah, things. They're like, Charlie, help! Okay. We're incompetent for some reason. We're the special forces. We should be better than you. But the lead character is always good at stuff for some reason, even though it doesn't make any sense and he has zero training. He's like 120 pounds soaking wet. So he's like running and he has to like try to get her underneath this vent. So how does he trigger the vent? Does he get her to shoot it like with gum or the pipe? I'm sorry. How does he crack this pipe open so it freezes her?
I think that what he does is say there's like a emergency release.
Wait,
like valve.
He grabs some nerd's rope and he lassos this thing and he pulls it down.
Nerd's rope will work. Yes.
And then it, like, shoots her, and she freezes, and then he says, how about you chill out? And he kicks her, expecting her to shatter, but she's solid gum, and he's like, well, just stop. She doesn't shatter. She just, like, she's just definitely dead, but doesn't shatter like he expected.
All I can think of is that scene in the Fantastic Four with... the older one, like the 2000 one, where they freeze Reed Richards and he's just stuck there.
Yeah, it's basically that, except for she's really dead.
Super dead.
She's, like, super dead. Yeah. Maybe not. Maybe you could defrost her and, like, she would be cryogenically frozen for, like, the third movie that takes place 2,000 years later, but...
Well, no, I mean, like, you can chew gum, but they just have to smash her a bunch, like...
Yeah, it's just,
she's
like...
mostly gum. He grabs a gun and
shoots the grenade off of it, and it blows her up, and she shatters. The shrapnel does kill half of his team, though, because he has no idea what he's doing. We've already established that. So who's the next? Who's next?
There's... I can't remember the little kid that gets shrunk, but I don't remember his name. Johnny?
Tonto.
Hold on. You got Mike Teeve, you got...
Mike. It's Mike.
Is it Mike Teeve? Okay, hold on.
Yeah, because he loved TV, so that makes sense.
He was the boy that does nothing but watch television, that's right.
Yeah. And so maybe, like, they go in... I don't know if this is in the right order, but who cares? They go in and, at this point, we've demolished this franchise. So they go into this next room, right? So what do they see? He got shrunk and he was part of a TV show for a while.
Yeah, he got transmitted through the TV in the newer one.
Do you think that maybe he... I mean, even in the old one he did. I think... Do you think maybe he could control, like, electricity in some way? Or maybe, like...
Are you trying to say that this... Are you trying to create Electro again?
Kind of, except for what if it's like you walk in the room and it's a bunch of blank TVs, right?
What if he's like Zola from Captain America Winter Soldier? He's just like uploaded his consciousness into a bunch of TVs.
I like that idea.
It's just like Charlie walks in and then a TV turned on static. He's like, what the heck? This place, like, the power's out. That's
all
how I'm imagining
is just unplug all the TVs.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter because he can control them. That's the idea. So, yeah, I love that idea, but... maybe that's the ending. It's like, ha! I turned off the surge protector, idiot.
Yeah,
not the surge protector.
Surge protector. That's what the soldiers sound. Maybe it's more of a he walks in and like the static turns on the TV. He's like, that's real weird because all the power's out. And he takes another step and he's in front of the other TV and then that one turns to static. And then it's like, you know, it's kind of like a creepy thing. And then it fades into this kid's face. And then he can't really hurt Charlie because it's just TV. Or maybe he's shrinking all of the soldiers to join him in TV land. He's transmitting them.
Sure.
I mean, that could work, right?
Or it's, yeah, it's like sure. Pleasantville where he just keeps putting these people in TV shows.
What if he shrinks all of them and transmit them in? Yeah, and so they're in TV shows. That's right. That's a good idea. So they're like, they're all in this like cartoon, and like it's Charlie having to fight his way out. Yeah. And
all right.
So I guess
how's he get out?
Maybe he accidentally turns on like the like Catholic Church channel, and then the kid's like, he's like, for all eternity you shall suffer, and the kid's like, no. And then like it's like he's like judgment. He's like, you take it, Padre, and then he just jumps out of the, he goes out and he runs to the thing and gets unshrunk.
Okay.
And that's how he deals with Mikey or whatever his name was.
Yeah, so we probably can't go through all the kids, but
is it Veruca?
Yeah, I was gonna say Veruca Salt. She's the one who I think she got carried away by squirrels in the last one.
What if? Well, in the other one, she was just angry. She was like the golden goose thing, right?
She won the golden egg.
What if this one is just like, well, her anger issues kind of really did a number on her heart, and so like you get there and she's like totally dead, and she's been dead, and it's just like, it's just like, well, you know, she should have seek some counseling or something. You can't be angry that long. It's just really a message. This is just a moral lesson about like, you know, deal with your anger. Like find an outlet. Do a sport or something. Do intramural soccer. I don't know. Just like, don't let it eat you up. That's really all Charlie says. He says
this is a
whole
PSA
team.
About being.
Yeah,
angry.
The whole. He turns to the camera, which is basically the whole team, and he says all that. They're like, okay, can we go kill Willy Wonka now? who is there? Anybody else left?
There's a couple of kids left, but we can probably bypass most of them.
Yeah, I think
is there
that's
any? Is there any
it.
Good one?
There's. I'm just going through. One of them gets blown up, but I think that's the blueberry.
Probably good. All right, so
yeah, I think we're good.
The
so
next
let's
thing
get...
up is Willy Wonka. I'm guessing.
Yeah, let's just. So David, what do you got? You got anything for Willy Wonka?
I think I did at the beginning of this whole thing, and then I just got distracted and forgot.
Okay, so I have the dumbest idea possible. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Do you remember in the Tim Burton one, like, he loves candy so much because his dad was a dentist and wouldn't let him have candy?
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Okay, so what if, like, the uncurable disease, because, like, the world has progressed and evolved so much, is just gum disease? Like, he's just given
the gum disease known as gingivitis. That's and like his biggest disease. That's the reveal at the end.
Because Charlie's a doctor, he just gives everybody mouthwash.
I think like the thing is there needs to be a showdown. Maybe that's like the reveal at the end that like Wonka all along was trying to cure gum disease, and in doing so he created a bunch of other viruses because he wanted everyone to be able to eat candy without worrying about it.
All right, I like it.
So maybe that's like the reveal at the end.
A misunderstood villain.
So like you find out that at the end, like he reads his journal and he realizes all along he was just trying to make it so people could be happy and only eat candy and survive.
I like it.
See.
So I like the idea of him getting like they get in there and Wonka's like running to the Wonkavator, and he runs like that past that like half toilet, and what was his assistant?
I don't remember.
Huh?
His assistant, the guy
Slugworth.
Slugworth, yeah.
Slugworth is there, but the SWAT team takes him out immediately.
Immediately.
He's like, you were probably a Nazi. You look like a Nazi, and they shoot him.
Well, I was going to say Slugworth. I thought he was a spy originally.
Well, he was, but he was working for Wonka the whole time.
Yeah.
Everlasting Gobstoppers.
So your mention of the Wonkavator made me think, I like the virus research and everything. We can talk about this in a minute if we need to. This could be a deleted scene or like a stinger after the credits.
Our movies have progressed so much that we have deleted scenes.
Oh, this
after
was going to
now.
Film. Like, this is like, if you retitle this Wonka and just like pitch this as a Saw movie, but with Willy Wonka, this would be terrifying. What if all of this is just another test? And they get there, and Wonka brings Charlie onto a bigger Wonkavator that shoots up, like, into space, and then, like...
It's the International Space Station?
It turns out that Wonka's, like, the bigger factory that he owns is just Earth.
Oh my goodness, he's gone.
Oh my god, I love all it.
It's like a pocket universe.
No, do you remember at the end of MIB when they open the locker and it's into a bigger... Yeah,
like that. It's like
I think that. I think that like should be the alternate ending.
I love it. I love
because,
it.
Because Charlie really did just kill everybody, so I don't know if Wonka would trust him. So what if like, okay, so let's just say that you choose your own ending here. Listeners, okay. This is a choose your own adventure. Okay. I love that idea that Willy Wonka was God all along. Well, that's actually really freaking hilarious. But
so the addendum to that is just, sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm done. The addendum is, Charlie did kill everyone, but he and Wonka are immortals and they can't kill each other. So
it's like the good and the bad. They're the yin and yang.
It's like Lost.
The Earth is like slowly like getting destroyed below them. You can like see the nuclear war happening. Yeah. And then it's like them having to work together to recreate the Earth. And that's the ending.
We got
to
find a new planet.
What if he runs in? So the other alternate ending, like your ending two that you could pick. They run in and Wonka runs up to the Wonkavator. And he's like, you haven't seen this yet, Charlie. The Mecha Wonkavator. And it's just... it's just like a giant mech suit that he has to fight. That's all I had for the alternate ending. And then maybe Charlie has to call in Captain America. I don't know. I love the idea of him becoming God. Let's just stick with that. That's hilarious. All
right.
How did a movie about us murdering the people from Willy Wonka turn into Willy Wonka and Charlie becoming God? I don't know. You figure it out.
All right. So let me throw the 30-second pitch and we'll move on. So 30-second pitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a post-apocalyptic world, are we doing this? Yes. We're doing this. I'm sticking with it. I'm committing. In a post-apocalyptic world, Charlie Day. Okay, yeah, Charlie becomes a doctor to save people, and he finds out he's under the impression that Willy Wonka is creating viruses to kill people. So the government brings him in to track down Willy Wonka because he understands the way out of the factory, and as they go into the factory to track down Wonka, they're met by many villains, which are the kids from the original movie, grown up and more sophisticated.
Mutated,
thank you. And so they have to defeat each stage in order to get to Wonka, but you find out when he gets to Wonka that it's all just a test, and he takes Charlie into space to show him the bigger picture, which is that he created Earth.
Yeah, you can make the hard decisions, Charlie. That's important for a god. That's the end scene.
Yeah. All
right. That is fantastic and way better than that it had movie any right to be.
So in depth. That's like the longest we've ever spent on a movie, and I love it.
Oh man, Nick, that was genuinely the worst idea that turned out great that we've ever had on this podcast. So I guess up next is my movie. So, I don't think I'm going to beat Nick's movie. I really wish Nick had gone last, jerk. So, my movie's been on my list. I'm trying to clean up my list because I have a lot of movies on here that are real dumb. So, mine is a mix between Fast and the Furious and Master and Commander. And it's two Master, two Commander. So, anyway, I have multiple movies. Just a heads up. But,
I've never seen Master and Commander, but if you can give me just a few seconds.
No, I'll tell you about it. So Master and Commander is basically a movie about Russell Crowe hunting down this French ship they basically do it for a paycheck. They get a reward if they can hunt down the ship and take it out. And it's you know, a seafaring movie. I was just imagining, like, what if you took Fast and the Furious and put it on water?
Okay.
It's really all this ends up being.
Okay.
So it could be anything. Let your imagination go wild, Nick. You love Fast and the Furious.
I love Fast and the Furious. I can maybe start us.
In this movie, the start is like The Rock has gotten so big they have to use him as a boat. Yeah.
We're sticking to that now.
Vin is like, hey, Hobbs, over there, we gotta catch that French vessel.
And Hobbs has gotten so good at exercising that he just kicks his feet to pedal himself.
Pedal them and the whole crew in like 30 different cars.
Yeah.
That they used to board ships with. They have a ramp in the cars to board other ships.
I just feel like, oh my gosh, I feel like that hits such
funny
nerve.
Hobbs. No, so like, they're... I imagine they're like on Hobbs, like rolling around and just like hunting down French ships in the Napoleon era. And they went back in time. Let's just say that.
Okay.
I don't know. All it right. doesn't matter. And so they're just trying to deal with being back in time. So they're trying to make some money to live until they can build a time machine because Vin has the idea in his head. Of course. He's the mastermind of the time machine, right? I just imagine that someone being like, hey, we need help. We're taking fire on the left bicep. That's a direct hit to these six-pack abs. Mayday, mayday.
Starboard abs.
Starboard abs. We are taking on water fast. The Rock has turned his head and he's drinking straight seawater. Please help. So
we gotta pump his stomach.
So wow, this movie devolved very quickly into being impossible to write. But
it's a boat.
Maybe it's like they're just like rewriting history in such a way that it ruins all of the other Fast and the Furious movies and allows them to reboot. I think the first thing they do is they kill this French boat, and that immediately kills Paul Walker's character.
Like, oh, because they're killing their lineage.
Yeah, he killed his great 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 grandfather.
Yeah, I like
the Rock karate chops his boat in half.
No, but all right. Can I add? I have an idea.
Sure.
So, what if they can't figure out why people are dying? So, all right, what if they can't figure out why Paul Walker just disappears?
Mm-hmm.
And so they keep killing, like, ships, and every time they kill a ship, someone from their crew, which is, like, 40 people, just disappears. And it gets down to just a handful of them. And as it gets down to a handful
And then Han pops up, and they're like, how did that happen? I was like, well, you killed the guy that killed Han.
Yeah. And so, that's great, actually. Oh, my gosh, that's
We brought
so
him back.
And so, yeah, Han explains to them, like, what's happening. And so now they're aware that every time they kill someone, they're changing history. And they can't go back.
And but Vin's like, but how do I use my wrench to kill people if I can't hit people with my wrench? can you imagine, like, them pulling up beside a French ship, and the French ship is like, what is going on? This is what nightmares are made of. They're on this, like, very tan, shirtless Rock who's, like, swimming in giant swim trunks.
That they made from ship sails. He has to be in jean shorts.
Jean shorts.
Ripped up jean shorts.
They made ripped up jean shorts from a ship sails for the Rock. Because they're like, well, you know, they were going to keep this a PG-13 movie. And they pull up next to this French boat, and they just, like, get in their Ferraris, and they drive up this ramp. And it's like, Vinny's like, I'm going to take him out. And he drives up the ramp, and he just smashes into the side of the boat. And they're just like, what is going on? The French are trying to surrender, but no one's listening because Vin doesn't care. He just wants to kill people. Because
they can't hear over the rev of the engine.
What do white flags mean? It means they want to die. Like, oh God, Vin, what are you doing?
Why do they put their tank tops on a pole?
I better go over there and show them how to wear those tank tops. And then he crashes a Ferrari into the French ship. This is the worst movie. What other cool thing? So let's just change this to, what other cool things could the Fast and the Furious crew do if they were based in water?
Okay, so let's say they become a gang of pirates.
What if, like, the French brings their whole fleet and they're like, the Rock has taken fire, and he's like, You have to get in my mouth. And they're like, why? So you're protected from the fire. And then the rest of the adventure takes place in the Rock's body. They drive their Ferraris directly in the Rock's mouth.
I feel like we're about to do a magic school bus.
Nicholas Cage just... Rock me a submarine now.
The Rock turned into a submarine? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
He's like, guys, I've worked out enough. I no longer need oxygen. And he's just like, I can withstand pressures that normal human beings cannot withstand. And then he goes down, and the whole movie is them fighting.
Extra muscles.
Yeah. The whole movie is them just fighting, like, giant sea creatures. It's just Vin Diesel very slowly swinging a wrench at a giant octopus to try to kill him.
You got too many legs. Let me fix you.
More than two legs. Not on my watch. And then he stretches a tank top over this two-legged octopus. He's like, on your merry way, sir. Man, this is, they're so good at screwing up history. So they're floating around in this submarine. And let's just say that, like, at this point, you can say the Fast and the Furious characters are superheroes, right? I mean, like, we can all agree that they do some stuff that's, like, would... If you jumped from a car as it was driving down a hill at, like, 60 miles an hour and tried to roll away, you would most definitely just turn into blood mist. That is a guarantee. So, like, they're superheroes at this point. So maybe they were immortal. So, like, let's just say they're floating around under the sea for a while to try to, like, you know, get rid of the heat from the French. And they come back up and it's World War II. Ben is like, what? This is the worst
but they're, movie. But they're so oxygen deprived, they help the Nazis win by accident.
Alternate history. Boom, baby. No, it's like, they get up there and, it's like the D-Day, you know, thing, like, you know, and except for ships aren't a thing anymore because they changed history. Just very strong men are ships now. So The Rock is like, he's got competition now.
Oh, man.
All right.
Yeah.
And then maybe like, man. So they
stop laughing.
I just imagine like, The Rock is super ripped because he's been swimming for, like, hundreds of years. Literally hundreds of years he's been swimming, so he's extra super ripped. And he just, like, they come out of his mouth, and Vin Diesel has, like, this measly little beard, but the Hispanic lady's beard is, like, down to her knees. It's like, dang, dude. Like, Vin. So anyway, they come out of the Rock's mouth, and they're like, sunlight! And then they see that America is like the tides of war are against America.
Mm-hmm.
And so like maybe The Rock is just like throwing these characters into the fray so they can help the Americans win. And so like maybe this part of the story is only told through like interviews with the soldiers that saw what happened. They're like, a man in a white tank top just flew like a cannonball and destroyed a machine gun placement and burst into flames. And then he said something about a Ferrari. And I think I'm going to make one of those. And then, like, I don't know what that is, but I plan on making it. I like the word. And he's an Italian soldier. Yeah, that's... And then they go back into the ocean, and they're like, just call us when you need us. Like Godzilla from the Godzilla cartoon.
Like Godzilla.
This has to end because there's nothing we can do for this movie. And Godzuki. Godzuki.
Okay, so what if they spend the rest of history trying to influence history to recreate the type of world that they lived in once before? Because now apparently they can live through
time. They're living through ages. You're right, and they're trying to like change history to be like it was. And no matter what they do, they keep having to go back in time because no matter what they do, Hitler's president. They're like, you got to be kidding me! Like, how did we do this? Like, I thought we did everything right this time. So they go back and they're like, all right, we're gonna kill less people this time and see what happens. And then maybe, like, the final play is, like, they go to set everything back, and The Rock has to kill himself in the womb. It's the only way.
Didn't that happen on the Butterfly Effect?
All the way back to episode one.
I'm too strong.
I like it. Tim, 30-second pitch us.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Let's see.
Do you even remember what we came up with?
Nope. So, 30-second pitch is the Fast and the Furious crew, after solving all of the world's problems, learn to go back in time through The Rock's incredible through Vin Diesel's incredible time machine. And they go back in time, and The Rock is a boat for some reason. They kill some Frenchmen. They go underwater for a couple hundred years to get rid of the heat of the French. And they solve World War II and all the world's problems. And Vin Diesel or The Rock, I don't care. One of them has to die before they're born in order to stop this all from happening. It doesn't really matter. 30-second pitch, done.
All right. David, what you got for us?
Oh, this can go one of two ways. I have two movies.
Right. Okay.
Both of them courtesy of encouragement from you guys. Movie number one. G.I. Joe 3, G.I. Joe Biden.
Nice.
Yes. Give me the other one.
That one's terrible.
The other one is Breaking Sinbad. That was Nick. So thank you, Nick, for loaning.
I have to choose Sinbad. Breaking Sinbad by default. I'm sorry. Yeah,
I sent you G.I. Joe Biden as a joke because I was like, there's nothing we could possibly do with this other than make him a giant boat.
I can't laugh for another 10 minutes straight.
All right, so we're breaking Sinbad is really funny.
Breaking
Nick.
Sinbad. I like this. I think I can do something with this.
Sinbad broke bad, guys.
David, give us some direction.
I think that this is a indirect sequel to Jingle All the Way.
Of course.
Okay.
Sinbad just got tired of everybody dogging on him. He's like, man, I'm tired of delivering.
Just
want
to get action figure. Is there so much to ask?
I just need enough money to afford an action figure. And so he's like, I need to be prepared. It's all about him being prepared for next Christmas. He's like, I'm going to have all the money, and I'm going to buy all the action figures.
I'm not going out during Black Friday to buy
what's
this.
What's the quickest way to do this?
I'm going to just buy this off eBay with the extra money it costs. How do I make that money?
Meth.
Methamphetamine. The answer is methangelamine. It's the same universe as Paul Blart, definitely. I feel like they're one and the same person.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I think that if you cut open Kevin James, there'd be a tiny Sinbad inside. Pulling the strings all along. That's my theory.
I think that the interesting thing that matches up with this is that he still delivers mail. Like, that's part of his, like, delivery system.
Okay.
Is
oh,
that
that's
he's
good.
Also the mailman.
Yeah.
Like, that's how he just...
He needs a Jesse Pinkman, other... like some character
for sure.
To teach
yeah,
him.
Yeah, that's
about
Kevin Hart.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Paul Blart. Okay. Or let's Kevin go with Blart. Kevin Hart.
Okay, so. Is this Sinbad the person or the guy from Jingle All the Way? I'm trying to figure it
this
out.
This is Marvin.
Okay, Marvin.
But also, yes, Sinbad the person. Because at some point, we just stopped caring. I don't know if you remember that. But
okay. At some point, Sinbad just said, my favorite character I ever played was Marvin the Mailman.
And so he plays him in real life?
Yeah. All along. He's never stopped acting in Jingle All the Way.
Okay. So... it's just gotten so bad for him that he just decides to get into the drug trade. And nobody suspect Sinbad.
He doesn't actually know the value of the dollar. Like, he doesn't understand that having, like... if you just, like, save your money and don't spend it on everything you see right away, you'll have money later to buy this thing for your kid. And so he thinks, like, well, I have to make methamphetamine so I can make $1,000 so I can buy this Tickle Me Elmo off eBay. Like, so maybe it's, like... He
wait, did you just make a Tickle Me Elmo reference?
Yeah, remember that was hard to get? I'm
okay.
old.
No. See, so, yeah, I get what you're saying. Except
does he still have the jetpack?
Back and buying, he's buying all the Christmas presents he never got as a kid.
Oh, man. Oh, that's good.
And they're super
this is important,
though.
Does he have the jetpack?
Yes.
I think so.
He's like, I'm gonna cook meth away. On this skyscraper. No one will
but
suspect.
He doesn't know how to fuel it, so he has to keep... he actually makes meth to fuel the jetpack.
Weirdly enough.
He just makes meth out of the jetpack. It's like a weird moonshine system. It's like, you could have sold this, like, $300,000 jetpack, but you just decided to cook meth out of it.
You just hollowed it out and made a bong. Like, what the heck, dude? So I think, like, we need to follow some of the steps of Breaking Bad, right? So he's trying to get all the toys that he could never get. Maybe for his kid, to win his kid's love. What about that?
Okay.
Yes.
And so he's cooking this meth in order to, you know, buy this stuff off eBay, because it's collector's items and all kinds of stuff like that, and it's expensive. So he's cooking this methangelamine. So who teaches him how to cook?
Oh, easily Kevin Hart.
Maybe it's Bill Cosby.
Oh, because
it's
God,
Jello,
yes.
Right? So, like, yes. What if it's like? I don't have a Cosby impression, so I'm just gonna do that the whole time.
You crutch the Sudafed.
Can you guys hear me wearing my sweater?
Yes.
Just like Cosby. Because I'm channeling it right now. It's my aura. It's the shape of his sweater. So Bill Cosby comes in to teach him how to make methangelamine.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they have hijinks. And then they go and have to kill two dudes. Because that happens at the beginning of Breaking Bad.
Yes.
And I think those two dudes, it's important that we get somebody. Maybe it's what's his name? The two guys from Breaking Bad, the main characters.
Oh, you're talking about
Bryan Cranston and the guy who plays Aaron, Jesse.
Aaron Kraft.
Yeah, why can't we remember this?
Aaron Paul.
So yeah, so maybe he has to like those two people they kill are Bryan Cranston and Aaron Paul. Just as like a shout out.
Okay.
Sure. Like those are the meth dealers that they end up getting on the wrong side of, and they kidnap him to make him cook a methamphetamine, and then they end up killing him. So I think that's really important because that binds Cosby and Sinbad together. They have the unity of accidental but intentional murder. Like,
okay,
these guys are super dead, but also I don't think Sinbad would make it as a meth dealer if we're being honest.
Well, no, because like I mean, so the whole thing with Walt was all about the purity, and Sinbad just
maybe he
have
just
that
makes
kind of
the worst pure.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like he's like no. Just what I mean? Can I just throw this in like a crock pot and leave it?
Hey man, I'm a man with a job. I don't time to sit here and cook meth and
jello. I got lettuce to deliver.
I got lettuce to deliver.
This needs to be able to cook while I'm like out on the road.
Like, can I put this in? Like, can I plug it into the cigarette lighter and just cook this thing while I drive? Like, he's cooking a very small
got like a hot plate in the front seat of his car.
He's got a very small, very impure batch of methamphetamine, and it's just like this is 4% pure. The rest of this is mail clippings and stamps. Like, what did I just... What drug did I do?
I got it. So, this is pre-scandal with Cosby. So, nobody knows Cosby's a drug dealer or a rapist.
Oh, I never put two and two together.
And so, this is pre-Cosby scandal. And he keeps giving Cosby the drugs, but it's not meth. It's just Sudafed cooked down.
It's just watered down Sudafed. He just put Sudafed in a spoon Jello. And dripped. He dripped water.
Sudafed Jello.
Can you imagine if he made Jello and he just sprinkled some Sudafed in it? And he's like, boom, methamphetamine. It's just like pills floating in a Jello mold.
No, you can get liquid Sudafed.
No, this is better.
Okay,
it's crunchy. All right. It's crunchy.
Yeah, it adds some texture. Whole dish.
You have to have mouthfeel, Nick. That's important when you're making methamphetamine. I'm kind of a foodie, okay?
I'm really taking this in the worst direction that I can think of. I'm so sorry.
I think that you leave it into where we just talk about methamphetamine and we're good. It's fine. The actual Jello, because that was funny, Nick.
we went like 400 minutes on the first movie.
So I think we're all right. So, David,
I think we can have a short movie. It's all right.
I think that like this movie, while hilarious premise, is impossible to do because it's actually real life and Sinbad is right now cooking meth.
This is a Stranger Than Fiction
it's just like,
scenario.
No matter what we write, Sinbad's already done it.
No, do you remember when we first started our podcast and we kept saying stuff and like similar things would happen in real life and we thought our podcast was creating real events? What if we find out that this was all real and that Sinbad wasn't?
And Sinbad actually has a jetpack? Because that'd be fantastic.
Yes.
All right. I think that deserves a 30-second pitch.
I'm going to give you a 30-second pitch. Sinbad and Bill Cosby team up together to cook meth. Sinbad is trying to win back the love of his child by buying all the gifts that Sinbad himself never got for Christmas. To give to his kid, and so they need to learn how to cook meth from someone. So the filmmakers decide to pay homage to Breaking Bad and include Bryan Cranston and Aaron Paul as the meth dealers that they learn from and then eventually kill. Sinbad doesn't really jive too well with learning the whole scientific method that Walt wants to teach him, so he just diverts to cooking Jello and then sprinkling some Sudafed on top of it and calling it a day.
It's a nice crust of Sudafed. I think we need to go ahead and sew it.
Pan-seared crust.
Let's go ahead and do what they do in the writer's room, you know, when they send the script back and we just like sew an ending on. So I like, so you get to the end, how does he die? Like, spoiler alert for a show that's been over for a while.
I think that he dies by doing actual meth one time.
He just... I ate too much Sudafed. I thought it was my bag of Skittles, and it was the Sudafed.
Done. All right.
Guys, I'm sorry.
No,
it's okay.
Honestly, we need... David, if there weren't bad movies, we couldn't appreciate the good movies. So yeah. you keep
that's
those
exactly
bad
what
movies.
Your parents would say if they heard this.
Hey, I just wanted to thank our listeners. We really appreciate everything you guys do. If you wouldn't mind going to iTunes and rate and subscribe to us, you can find us on iTunes, unpitchablepodcast.com. I think we're on Stitcher. I think you can find us in all kinds of areas. If you wanted to send us a movie idea or just yell at us, David, what's that email they can send it to?
If you have a movie idea or want to give us feedback or love or hate, send your emails to movies@unpitchablepodcast.com. That's movies@unpitchablepodcast.com.
Good deal.
Man, thank you so much for listening to this.
Yeah, thank you for listening. I'm Nick Kagey.
I'm David Johnson.
I'm Tim Catania. Why don't
pitch it away, pitch it away, pitch it away now.
Why don't you just take this pitch and make it a nice
steal
pillow.
A bag of hobo's teeth.
I'm Nick Kagey. I'm David Johnson. I'm Tim Catania. Eat a swordfish whole.
I'm Nick Kagey.
I'm David Johnson.
I'm Tim Catania.
Perfect. All right. Good.
Get yourself a glass of this ice cold pitch.
Ice cold. Oh, man, dude. No, I don't like that one. I don't like that one.
Cold hard pitch.
Life's a pitch, guys. Ha ha!
No, I don't have a movie.
What? Are you really serious? I'll give you one of mine.
I'll have a movie.
I swear, David, I just need you to spend 30 seconds thinking of any movie and adding another movie to it.
So anyway, I had to like send a memo around the school that if anybody catches me having a seizure, to just put my wallet in my mouth. Man. So I thought maybe I told you that story.
Well, see, now I know, and now I will put a pen in your mouth.
Did you?
So I can further the legacy of Pen Girl.
What if you like started because you were? What if you start pre-seasoning your wallet? So at least it'd be like a good taste.
This one is like sour cream and onions.
So every time I have a seizure, I just break open, because you know I can feel my seizures coming on.
Yeah.
I just break open like a ramen noodle seasoning packet that was in my wallet, and I just sprinkle it on.
Yeah, just sprinkle it on.
You just have instructions
like
written on your wallet to do that. No, it's just like,
please find
you always season
bag
it.
Of Doritos and
you always
toss
season
my
it.
Wallet in it.
Yeah, you always season it, and then it always tastes like sour cream and onion and butt sweat.
Which is it that far off from just regular sour cream?
I feel like this is a business idea.
This
like,
is a good idea.
Seizure wallets, flavored seizure wallets.
It's just jerky wallets.
Oh, I was gonna say that. That's a good idea.
Loot Crate. Right. This month's theme is Beverly Hills Ninja with Chris Farley.
That would be amazing.
Hi, welcome to Unpitchable, a podcast where we talk about baseball players who crowd the plate.
Stop it.
I'm committed to this game, okay? I'm committed. I'm a professional podcaster. I get paid $0.
About CrossFit. Let's go ahead and cancel the podcast tonight. I don't feel very good. He said CrossFit. I'm leaving. I would have guessed
get
five.
That out of your system right now.
Hey, David, what movie did you bring?
Okay, so it's Drill Bit Taylor.
Because you're doing Drill Bit Taylor, right? That's been on my list since like day two, just so you know.
That was genuine laughter because I can't stop picturing The Rock
as
a boat. Yeah, and then like thinking about his mouth having to open wide enough for a Ferrari to drive.
Well, he's big enough now. It doesn't matter.
All I can think about is The Rock. Like The Rock doesn't know how to be, like. He doesn't know how to do anything of a motorboat without making the sounds himself. So he's just making motorboat.
Yeah, that would be so fantastic. Sometimes he'll grab the camera, and all I'll see is one giant baby eye. And then like hear a little bit of laughter because he loves grabbing that camera because it's got a light on it. And it's kind of creepy. It's creepy without the sound on though, because all you see is just his eye. You're like, what the heck? It's
terrifying.
Dude? It is terrifying.
David, before you jumped on me and Tim were talking about like hacking baby monitors and how terrifying that is.
So, I bet that's the thing you do on Watch Dogs.
I was talking about how if that happens on mine, it's just like radio frequency or whatever, so it's like short range. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna just go to the nearest van and beat up whoever's in it. Just assume that they're transmitting into our house. What if we did a thing in the future where we raise some money and it was basically like the more you pay us, the worse our quality will get. It's kind of like